Scripture today is from Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. These are the very words of the living God. He says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Let's pray. Fathers, we gather today as your church. Would you immerse us so that we can soak in your word, which is the sum of truth. May your name, Jesus, be praised in this time of gathering as the church, so that we can proclaim the greatness, the goodness of who you are. So God, we praise you for the privilege, and Holy Spirit, as you lead us today in this time, may the name of Jesus be glorified, the name above every name. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for this gathering, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So good to see everyone today. Again, my name is Steve Thompson. I serve as one of the elders here at La Crescent Evangelical Free Church. I'm substitute preaching for Pastor Dan Crevillian, who has been on vacation. And if you notice the title of the message, "Fear Not, God is with us." Well, I'm really nervous today, kind of like a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. And so this verse really convicted me as I was preparing this message. God is speaking to me, and I'm probably learning more than you will today. All right? But what a privilege it is to share God's word with the church today. On March 4th, 1933, Franklin Delano Roosevelt gave his first inaugural address as the 32nd President of the United States. His famous quote is as follows: "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Roosevelt's remarks were directed at the economic recovery and social reform needed for the Great Depression years. Indeed, President Roosevelt assured Americans who were experiencing difficult times, fearful times, in the early 1930s, that the only real enemy to be afraid of was fear itself. Yet God assures us through His Word that because of His great love, we need not be afraid of fear, nor anything else for that matter. That's because God is with us. He is our God. Now, something I want to clarify up front is the word fear has multiple uses in the Bible. So in this sermon, we're not talking about fear of the Lord, but rather human fear that arrests our hearts and minds. As I mentioned to you, I'm experiencing that kind of fear right now. Fear of failure, fear of man. But isn't God so good to have your preacher today preaching to myself as well as all of you about a real life struggle? Yes, fear is real. Fear is natural for us. Faith is real too, but faith isn't natural for us. Remember too, there is no fear in love. Scripture says, "But perfect love cast out fear." That's the perfect love of God. So here's the main point of this message: that God in His great love strengthens, helps, and upholds His people because He is the following three things. This is your takeaway today from this message: that God is present, He is powerful, and He is personal. So if we look closely at this verse today, Isaiah 41:10, notice that it begins with two commands, each followed by an assurance. For example, "Fear not" is the command. Then the assurance is, "For I am with you." And then he repeats that. "Be not dismayed" is the command. And the assurance is, "For I am your God." And then that's followed by three promises. First of all, God will strengthen you. Secondly, God will help you. And thirdly, God will uphold you with His righteous right hand. You know, if there ever were a go-to verse in Scripture, this is the one I'm going to hang my hat on for peace and assurance. Isaiah 41:10. That would be at the top of my list. And also think about this, church. Who is the you that Isaiah is alluding to in this verse? In the time period this was written, which was about 740 to 690 B.C., the you is God's chosen people, Israel. And now in the present day, it's all of those whom God has chosen to be His people through Christ. In other words, the you is the church, which is all of you who have put your faith in Christ. We are all benefactors through Jesus according to the riches of God's mercy and the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our sins. That's good news, church. That's the gospel. The good news that God in Christ is always present. He always will be with us. And that brings us to the first point. God is present. So right out of the gate, God is reminding Israel and us too that He is present with His people all of the time. It is God Himself that gathered them together as His servants. In spite of their failures, disobedience, and rebellious nature, God is the one who chose them. He could have cast them away, but He didn't. His great mercy and amazing grace made the difference. I want us to take a look at Isaiah 41, verse 9, which is the verse that immediately precedes our text for today. Isaiah 41, verse 9 says this: "You, whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, 'You are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off.'" Because of God's covenant-keeping ways, He will always be present. Scripture states that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Here's what Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says about that. "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." The last time our grandson, Oliver, visited us, I took him to the park. And as we got ready to cross the street, I took him by the hand, and we both crossed because I wanted him to be safe and know that I was there for him, protecting him. And you know, if you think of it, those who are in Christ, who are in God's family as His sons and daughters, should find it an assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is there with us. He's present. He is our protection. He upholds us. He strengthens us and helps us. Here's what Isaiah 41, verse 13 says about that. "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you." Church, that's gold. That's who Jesus is for all who trust Him as Lord and Savior. He's right there with us all of the time. We don't have to fear that He will leave us. Now, why is that true? Well, remember, after Jesus ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit came to guard and guide and counsel. He indwells all believers. That's who God in Christ is for us. He promised that He will be present all of the time, no matter what. Jesus reiterated this in His great commission to go and make disciples of all nations. Here's Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Jesus speaking, He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. My dad always said this, sharing the love of Christ is what life is all about. With Christ's presence, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit indeed empowers every believer to be his ambassador and representative, sharing with others the love, grace, and mercy found in Jesus should be our joy and delight. In fact, Scripture states that in His presence there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore at His right hand. The truth is that God's presence in Christ is closer than the air is to our skin. Did you ever think about that? That God's presence in Christ is closer than the air is to our skin. Jesus' presence always means He works with us, through us, for us, and in spite of us. That's really good news. Think about this. When our thoughts are inappropriate, He is still our advocate. When our words are harsh, He is still our friend. When our actions are repulsive, He is still our good shepherd. Now, don't get me wrong. The Lord doesn't condone sin, neither does He condemn those God is calling to Himself. His presence is continuous because He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So even on our worst day, there's no reason to question if God in Christ is present with us. And here's what Psalm 73, verses 21 through 23 say about that. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. What a great assurance. What a great promise that is. As believers in Christ, we can count on Him to be with us. He will strengthen, help, and uphold us by His presence. But do we believe that? Do we believe that? If we don't, we're probably depending upon the presence of earthly things, such as our health, wealth, and prosperity, to uphold us instead of the Lord. If we do believe it, indeed, there is fullness of joy as we trust in Him. When a person trusts that God is ever present, there is surely to be a revelation of His power. And that brings us to the second point of the message today. God is powerful. And the word that theologians used to indicate God's power is omnipotence. This means that God has very great and unlimited authority and power over all things. In fact, Scripture states that Jesus Christ holds all things together. He is powerful. He is God. Christ is the image of the invisible God. He rules and reigns over everything. He upholds the entire universe because of His power. Here's Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. God's Word says, He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. Now let me ask a question. Since Jesus upholds the universe by the word of His power, does He not uphold you and me? Consider this. The same power that created the universe, parted the Red Sea, and resurrects the dead is the same power that upholds you and me in Christ. In fact, in the text for today, we should find a great assurance in the promises of the omnipotent God. He assures us that He upholds His people with His righteous right hand. Here's Psalm 89, verse 13. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, high your right hand. Power, authority, and strength are all indicative of God's right hand. To be at His right hand is a place of honor. For example, Scripture says Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father. When all the nations are gathered together someday before Him, the Lord Jesus will separate the people from one another, Scripture says. The sheep, all of those He saved, will be on His right hand. The goats, all those unsaved, will be on His left hand. Where will you be that day? If you're in Christ, Scripture says you're seated with Him in the heavenly places at God's right hand. Only by God's powerful grace and mercy is any of this true. A great example of God's power in strengthening, helping, and upholding His people is displayed in the account of Jesus calming the storm. If you remember, Pastor Dan preached on this a few weeks ago. You remember the account? The disciples were afraid of perishing as their boat was rocked by the wind and waves. And there was Jesus in the boat, asleep, as if He didn't care. We too can be fearful when the storms of life rock our boat. We're afraid, and we wonder if God cares. We doubt. Our faith is weak. As Pastor Dan said, turn to the truth. And the truth is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The truth is that the Lord Jesus is always there. He is always with us and for us. And unlike the disciples, we can't visually see, physically touch, or audibly hear Jesus. Even though we can't do any of those things, the effects of His power are evident. For example, we see His power in the marvels of creation. If you've ever been to Niagara Falls, you know what I'm talking about. There's nothing quite like seeing the falls and hearing the thundering sound of the water going over the falls. Or maybe you visited the Grand Canyon and viewed firsthand the canyon's indescribable beauty and overwhelming grandeur. Indeed, on this earth, there's nothing quite like those two spectacles of God's handiwork. But there's one special evidence of God's power that makes Niagara Falls seem like a dripping faucet and the Grand Canyon like a ditch. What would that be? What do you think? It's the power displayed when God saves a human being through His plan of salvation found in Christ exclusively, in Christ alone. And even though the world makes a mockery of that, of people being saved from their sin by faith in Jesus' blood and righteousness, the Bible unequivocally states that it is the power of God. I love this verse. Look at this one, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. What about you? As you listen to this message today, are you perishing and hell-bound? Or are you being saved by the power of God? Have you put your faith in Christ by God's grace alone, that the power in His blood shed on the cross avails for you? If you haven't, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of repentance, which means turning from sin and turning to the cross. Think about this, church. The upholding power of God's righteous right hand is displayed in the power of the cross. And as I mentioned earlier, God is closer to us than the air is to our skin. God upholds the believer in Christ through thick and thin. His right hand is strong and mighty. If you're in Christ, you're in His grip. He's got a hold on of you. And no one or nothing can change that. Isn't that good news? You are secure in Christ. That's a truth that assures us that the almighty and powerful God who made all things is also the God who is personal. And that brings us to our third and final point, that God is personal. Now notice in the text for today, Isaiah 41, verse 10, God speaks in the first person. He says, I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All of this wording, I am, I will, is personally directed toward those He came to save, the believers in Christ. It's a personal assurance that God is with us and for us. He cares. God is personal. He didn't create the heavens and the earth, wind it up like a top, start it spinning, and then walk away. He didn't create you and me and then go off and leave us on our own. No, He's the God who is personal and close, not far away and uncaring. He condescended from His glory to be with us, to be with you. In the messiness of the world, in the messiness of your life and my life. And even though we humans are a mess, Jesus came to save all who would receive Him and believe on His name. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any need for the Lord Jesus to die on the cross for the forgiveness of sin. If you're in Christ, here's what that means for you. You have a personal relationship with Him as a member of His family. You've been adopted as a son or a daughter of the living God. You've been redeemed by His blood and forgiven of sin, past, present, and future. That's the Lord who is personal, and He knows you. In fact, He knows you better than you know yourself. And I wanted to share a couple of psalms here. First of all, let's take a look at Psalm 24, verse 1, about belonging to God, belonging to Him. Listen to this, Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. And then Psalm 50, verses 10 and 11. Love this psalm. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. The heavens and the earth belong to God. That means everything is His. From the inconceivably small atom to the incomprehensible large galaxy. As John Young reminded us last week in his sermon, there is not one square inch in all of creation where Jesus doesn't say rightly, mine. That includes all of us, church. That means that since the cattle on a thousand hills belong to God, then so do you, believer. If you put your trust in Jesus, think about what that means for you personally. He's your God, your Savior, your Lord, your friend, your Heavenly Father, your elder brother, your advocate, your mediator, your intercessor, your rock, your redeemer, your refuge. I wish I could describe him to you better, but I can't. You're at peace with him. He's at peace with you. You belong to him. You're not your own. You were bought with a high price, the precious blood of Christ. Indeed, you're not your own. Jesus is the husband. You and me, the church, are his bride. And in fact, one of the best examples the gospel gives us in all of creation of this personal nature of God is the marriage between one man and one woman. In Christ, husbands are commanded to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's personal. That's personal. God in Christ really is the only way the marriage of one man and one woman is strengthened and helped. That's because it's upheld by God's righteous and strong right hand. Now, my parents were married 73 years. They are now absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's what Scripture says about the one who trusts Christ. In spite of their fears and failures, for a little over 7 decades, they believed God was their strength and refuge in times of trouble. They had the assurance that God was their helper. He would keep their going out and their coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Their lives were and are being upheld by God's righteous, strong right hand. And nothing can be better than that. And you know, church, whether we'd like to admit it or not, we all deal with fear in varying degrees of our life. So I ask us, what are you most afraid of? What are you most afraid of? What am I most afraid of? If we're in Christ, God is really saying, in essence, I love you. You belong to me. You're my son. You're my daughter. Nothing or no one can change that. And those promises are tried, true, and trustworthy. That's who Jesus is for us. And in fact, here's what Scripture tells us about God's promises. Let's take a look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. So here's a final comment as we close this message today. And it's in the form of an exhortation, an encouragement, and a rebuke. Here's the exhortation. No matter what, we need to trust in God's promises. Keep trusting that he'll strengthen us, help us, and uphold us with his righteous, strong right hand. Here's the encouragement. God's promises never fail. There's no need to fear. God is with us. And finally, here's the rebuke. Just as Jesus rebuked his disciples when they were in the boat, and after he had calmed the storm, remember what Jesus said? He said, why are you so afraid? Have you no faith? Remember, God wants us to trust him. He will strengthen, help, and uphold those he loves, those he has called out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Therefore, we don't have to be fearful or dismayed about anything, including fear itself. God is with us. He loves his people. So here's a final verse from Scripture I wanted to share with you. This is from the book of Joshua. Take a look at this. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. God says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let's pray. Father, we are amazed at who you are. You are so great and so good. There is none like you. You are the only true God, the God who is powerful, who is present, and who is personal. Father, would you sink these words so deep in our heart that we couldn't help but leave this place today and share the good news of the gospel. Share the love of Christ with others. Father, would we be doers of your word and not just hearers only? May you be praised, Jesus Lord, throughout this day. We're so thankful we could gather as your church and give you glory today. Thank you, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.